This is class, Karti class, October 11th, 2014, the glorious Seva Radharani. Vande Guru Pada Dvandvam, Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Vande Nityananda Sahoditam, Srinandanandanam Vande Radhika Charanadvayam, Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam. Amala Kamala Raji Sparshivata Prashite Nijasarsi Nidage Sayamulasaniyam Parijana Ganayukta Kridiyanti Bakarim Snapayati Nijadasye Radhikamam Kadanu. So we've been discussing different aspects of the name and identity of the Manjaris and their sweet beauty. And now we have, we'd like to hear about their loyalty, which is mentioned in different places by the Acharyas, how loyal they are to Radharani, because they're very beautiful, they're very young girls. The Sakis are 14, 15. Krishna's 15, and the Manjaris are 12 and 13. They're very beautiful, very attractive, playful, sweet to behold. So Krishna's a young boy. Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Devotion, he has a prayer based on this natural attraction of boys and girls. He says, just as the mind of a young man is automatically attracted to the form of a young woman, or vice versa, may my mind be automatically and spontaneously attracted to the beautiful form of Shyamasundara. This is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So naturally, Krishna is that young boy, and he sees the forms of the Manjaris and Sakis, and it's very hard to tell the difference. So sometimes he accosts them, or he even tests their loyalty to Radharani. In Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Prabhupada Saraswati says the Manjari's only desire is to relish and experience the happiness of serving the lotus feet of Radha. In other words, if you're a millionaire, you don't go out in the streets and beg. There's no need, there's no necessity, nor attraction, nor compulsion, or want, or feeling that you want to. As Prabhupada said in Bengali, if you have a cow at home, You won't buy milk in the market. If you have a cow at home, you won't buy milk in the market. So similarly, if one is experiencing intense ecstasy and joy in serving Radharani, then what is the need to try to serve Krishna? Of course, the Manjaris serve in so many different ways, but all their happiness and satisfaction, fulfillment, they don't need anything more. In other words, they don't need, they're satisfied, they're fulfilled in serving Radha. Generally, people seek someone else, or they seek something else, because they're not happy or fulfilled or satisfied with whom they have or what they're doing. But in the Manjari's case, they're fully satisfied serving Radharani. And he says that even in her dreams, they don't even think about enjoying intimately with Shyamasundara. One day, Radha and Krishna were walking together, and there were some sakis there and Manjaris fanning. Rupa Manjari was walking near Radharani, fanning her just behind Radha and Krishna. And then, while Krishna was walking with Radharani, he just turned to Rupa Manjari, and he touched her blouse, her kanchuli. Then it uncovered the top part of her breast. Then she started crying. No, no, what are you doing? And Radhika turned like this, and she was watching the plight of her Manjari at the hands of that lumpat, Shyamasundara. And Radharani started laughing slightly. But actually, she was feeling, because it was a little humorous, to see how her Manjari was so loyal and so doggedly resistant to the advances of Krishna. So Radharani was feeling inside very, very proud and very happy to see the loyalty and steadfastness of her dear Sakhi. So these are, of course, noble human qualities, loyalty and steadfastness, that in any circumstance, no matter what happens, one will continue with their friendly relationship with someone, or supporting them, or serving them, or assisting them, and they're always loyal to them. We have one other note. This is from Ujjwala Neelamani that we collected, where Rupa Goswami is also describing the loyalty of the Manjris, Nitya Sakhis, and Pran Sakhis of Radharani. And so it doesn't say the name, but it says one day, because we often hear this term as devotees, that Krishna is testing me, Parikshit. Like we go to the Vaidya, the Ayurvedic doctor, and he feels our pulse and he does Nadi Pariksha, Pariksha. He examines the currents and nerve, the nadis of the body, which are passing through different organs, and they give different signals and impulses which indicate the healthy or unhealthy position of that internal organ. So Radharani and Krishna, he examines his devotees. The guru examines the candidate for Diksha. There's a 1-year examination period. And Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami says that the guru should examine the candidate for different periods of time. If the candidate who's approaching for Diksha is coming from Shudra Varna, he should be examined for 4 years, minimum, 4 to 7 years, to see if he can be steadfast, steadfast and loyal. And then if he's, say, in the Kshatriya Varna, Vaishya Varna, then it's 3 years he should be examined. He lives with the guru in the guru's ashram, he studies, he serves. And the guru observes his attitude, his behavior, his aptitude for learning, and his sensitivity and his sentiments. What kind of human being is he, and how does he interact with the other ashramites? If one is a Brahmin and he's coming for Vaishnava Diksha or to learn something from a great Acharya, then he will be examined for 1 year and then given Diksha by the Guru. So everywhere there's some examination, and we've all been to school and we all know about that. So many examinations are there all the time. So sometimes even there, the tests never stop. Even you go to the Nitya Leela of Radha and Krishna, you'll be there's midterm exams and final exams. So it's all a matter of measuring one's love or measuring one's knowledge. In the spiritual world, when there's examinations, it's all about not measuring your scholastic aptitude or not measuring your eligibility or qualifications for a job, or examining your physical health position. But there are the examinations in Goloka Dham by Krishna to the gopis, or the gopis to Krishna, or gopis to Manjris. Those examinations are to test the degree of love. That's very clearly evident in the Rasa Panchadaya, 5 chapters of the Rasa Dance, where the Krishna was examining the depth and quality of the gopis' love. He left them, apparently cruelly left them, and he deserted them. He seduced them with his murali, murali manohar. In the middle of the night, they dropped everything and ran to him. They came to his side, and looking at him so coquettishly and romantically, and then he said, "Yes, let's walk." And then they're singing, and then he went, disappeared with Radharani, then even left Radharani. To what? To examine their love. And to show the world how the gopis passed with flying colors. They were gold medalists in the school of love. They're toppers in Krishna's school of love. They get the topmost award of the purest love, madness in love, Maranakya Mahabhav. They even merged so much into Krishna's identity, became so taratmika with Krishna's love and his nam and his rup and his guna and lila. One gopi said, "I am Krishna, you are Putana." And then one became Bakasura and Putana and Nagasura, and they all became Krishna in the madness of love and separation. Amazing. And Krishna is watching just behind the bushes, looking through. The examiner, the Adi Parikshit, examining the gopis. What is the intensity, quality of their love? And does that not happen? These are the param-param bhaktas, the supreme lovers and servants of Krishna, the gopis, especially Radharani. But does not it happen that Krishna examines the love and steadfastness and loyalty of every devotee on the path of bhakti marg? Do you feel you're being examined sometimes? Do you feel you're being tested sometimes? By Guru, Krishna's representative, or by Krishna directly? How much do you love me? How much are you dedicated to me? How much will you surrender? How much will you serve me? Have you reached your breaking point yet? Are you ready to quit? Are you ready to run away? Throw in the towel, as I say. But they have this mundane phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. In other words, when the going gets very difficult, then people become more enthusiastic to push forward, even in difficulty. So for devotees, difficulties are an examination. For devotees, setbacks are an examination. For devotees, obstacles and impediments and unfriendly environments and unfriendly people are Krishna's form of testing and examining our loyalty to Guru and Krishna and our steadfastness. So one day Radharani wanted to test the loyalty, test the steadfastness and the depth of the love of her Manjaris. So she called one Sakhi. This is from Ujjwala Nilamani. She called one Sakhi and she says, "Listen, I want to test this Manjari. Newcomer Manjari." So Radharani told that Sakhi, "Please arrange," and this Sakhi's name is Mani Manjari. I think there's someone in a class I met, they asked me to sign a book, their name was Mani Manjari or so. So this name comes often up in the Shastras, this Mani Manjari. She seems to be a fairly key player among the Manjaris, M-A-N-I. It doesn't mean she has a lot of money. She's not a money Manjari. Of course, she had money means jewel, and jewels are valuable, and jewels are gold and money. Money means value, wealth, art, power. So she's money Manjari, but her greatest art, her greatest value and object and wealth is her love for Radharani's lotus feet. She's a jewel of a... We have this phrase in English, oh, she's a jewel of a... He's a jewel of a person, or she's a jewel of a woman. He's a very exceptional, noble, elegant, responsible person, like a jewel among men. A sandalwood tree in a forest of pine trees, or just a forest. Very rare and special personality. So Mani Manjari is that. And Radharani called him on Sakhi and said, Listen, Sakhi. I want you to arrange Mani Manjari. I want you to arrange that she meets intimately with Krishna." So then that Sakhi met with Mani Manjari privately and started preaching to her. let's say, very special type of preaching to try to encourage her to meet with Krishna. She said, listen. Listen, Sakhi. There is no greater thrill or joy in this entire universe than the ecstasy that you can experience by embracing Shah. Do you hear me? Why don't you try this just once? And then that Sakhi, when she's speaking to Mani Manjari, she sees some kind of doubt on her face and hesitation to accept her proposal. These are the co-stars of the production, or the squirrels. They're testing our, I don't know what. Anyway, they're Krishna's squirrels. Ram petted them and they got three lines on their back from his three fingers. He said, very good service. You're collecting little pebbles and little tiny stones for the bridge to Lanka, Setu Bandha. Hanuman's carrying big, big boulders. And the Hanuman was saying, Guleri, Jao. So I'm saying, hey, Guleri, Jao. He's in center stage right now. He's excited. All the attention. Come here and give class. Come, come. So so then Ramchandra told Hanuman, he said, listen, you're serving, carrying big mountains and boulders to make this bridge to Lanka to vanquish Ravana. And you're doing this, carrying so heavy mountains with all your strength. And you're giving it your best. Well, this Guleri, this tiny little living entity, squirrel, he's carrying on the tip of his little tiny nose, he's balancing a little rock. And he's running over here and throwing that rock in the water. And he'll go back and forth 1,000,000 times. Get a rock and drop it, get a drop and drop it. And it won't even equal 1 kilo. And you're bringing thousands and thousands of kilos in one go. But still, and then Ram put his hand like this. He's my devotee. You are my devotee. You are my big devotee. He is my little devotee. He's serving to his full capacity. Then Ram went like, he stroked his back. And then from that day forward, this little squirrel has three white lines on his back to represent Sita. Sita means white. There's no greater servant who's giving everything to Ram than Sita. So that's why they're white stripes. His body is green, they should be green. But they're white, because it represents pure seva, paramahansa, pure. So this Sakhi is seeing that the Manjari is not very happy with this offering, so she says, listen, it's really all right. Don't be hesitant. So many other Sakhis, you're a Sakhi. You're a Sakhi, and other Sakhis like Lalita, Lishaka, Enduleka, Champak, Chitra, Rangadevi, Sudevi, they meet with Krishna and they embrace him. And they're also Radharani's friends, just like you're Radharani's friends, and they serve Radharani, but they're also Krishna's mistresses. So why don't you give it a try? There's nothing really wrong. Why don't you do like that too? Why don't you meet with Krishna and enjoy him intimately? This is the inducement of one Sakhi to try to convince Mani Manjari, one of Radharani's steadfast and loyal Sakhi maidservants, handmaidens, to enjoy with Krishna. So how did Mani Manjari reply? She said, listen, Sakhi, I appreciate your offer. But do you know something? I want to reveal my mind to you. When I see Radharani enjoying with Krishna and intimately in Krishna's company, it fills me with such an unbelievably ecstatic and wonderful happiness than I could ever attain by any other activity, including meeting intimately with Krishna. So that was the end of the examination. The Manjari passed the loyalty examination with flying colors. Then that Sakhi went back to report to Radharani, and Radharani said, "Hey Sakhi, kya hua? What happened? Did you meet Mani Manjari? Did she go and embrace Krishna? Did she meet? Did you arrange?" "Oh no. So Ishwari, I tried my best. I tried my level best to encourage her in every possible way. But there's nothing that I can do to convince her." "I am convinced, Radharani, I'm completely convinced that this Manjari, Mani Manjari, is 100% pure, fully dedicated to serving your lotus feet no matter what. Despite repeated temptations and clever tricks by me, that Manjari did not show the slightest interest in meeting with Sri Krishna." So this is an example of the loyalty that's given by Rupa Goswami in Ujjvala Nilamani. That loyalty and faithfulness is often tested. Someone can say, "Oh, I'm loyal to my husband," or "I'm loyal to my wife," or, but then some man may try to seduce that wife, or that, or some other lady try to catch that husband or that other woman. So then that will test their loyalty, their faithfulness to their spouse. And if they're religious and dharmic and dedicated, and especially religious, then they won't succumb to the temptation. And they'll follow the laws of dharma and be upheld by the strength of their dharma, be protected. So this is a nice principle that goes everywhere, the loyalty to one's guru, the steadfastness and dedication to his service. And as I said earlier, that we're tested here in so many ways. Because if you want to pass, if you want to get your degree from the college or university, you have to pass so many exams in different year by year. Year by year that you study in the college and university, there are so many examinations, midterms and finals. And if you pass them all, you get a degree, you get promotion to the next level, which means a degree, and then you can enter the workforce and go on to your next stage of life. So as a devotee, we're in the school of bhakti. And if we enroll early in the school, and we're 20, most devotees enroll in this school when they're about 24, and they'll be in the school for 60 years, 50 years in the school. So do you think if you're in school for 50 years, there won't be any examinations and tests? So many tests and examinations will come. Basically, ultimately, every test that a devotee faces, every obstacle and every examination is the same as Radharani's testing her Manjari on a different level. That it's a test arranged by the Lord and his pure devotee representative. It's a test arranged by the Lord to simply examine and measure the depth of our love. Like, just for example, if a wife deeply and truly, fully loves her husband more than anything else in the world, there's no one in the universe that can tempt her and seduce her, take her away from her husband. Because love is stronger than law. The law is that you're lawfully married in the Hindu religion, and it's basically everywhere against the law to cheat on the husband or wife or to be disloyal. But law is one thing and love is another thing. Love breaks the greatest bonds, and love is the most powerful force in the universe. So actions and relationships that are based on love are the strongest, most unbreakable relationships in the universe. That's why they say in Vrindavan, the love is so intense because it's relationship based on love. not love based on relationship. Outside of Vrindavan, in Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha, and the entire spiritual world, all the love is based on the relationship. But here, the relationship is based on love. Balaram is not the brother of Krishna, but he loves him intensely like a brother, more than intensely. Yashoda and Nanda, according to Shastras, many Acharyas will say, our Gaudiya conception is different. According to Shastras, Nanda and Yashoda are the foster parents. They are not the father and mother. But try to tell them that. And Radharani is not the wife of Krishna, but because of the love, there's a relationship. Because the love is so intense that that relationship is unbreakable and impenetrable. So Yashoda's love, there they were. There they all were in Kurukshetra. The queens, amazing assembly in Kurukshetra in 10th canto, chapter 82 or 84, I believe. What an amazing gathering of the tribes, gathering, what a mixture of rasas and gathering of clans. The Brishnis, the Yadavas, the Kauravas, the Pandavas, the Vrijvasis. Everyone in the same place. The Dwarka queens were there. The Ashtasakis were there. Radharani was there. Rukmini was there. Satyabhama was there. Vasudeva, Devaki, Yashoda, Nanda, everyone. How many overlappings of... There was two kinds of Madhurya Ras and two kinds of Atsali Ras and two kinds of... There's a Sakhi Ras of the coward boys with Krishna. There's a Sakhi Ras of the Pandavas and Kauravas with Krishna. All these overlapping of different rasas in one place. But there, there was the whole group of those that loved Krishna because of their relationship with Krishna. He's a Yadava, I'm a Yadava, etc., etc. He's my son. But then there was a whole group that their relationship is based on their love. So when Krishna went in the tent with Nanda and Yashoda and Vasudeva and Devaki, and Yashoda and Krishna and Balaram entered the tent. Yashoda, Nanda sat Balaram on his lap, and Yashoda sat Krishna on her lap and started bathing with her breast milk and her tears. Krishna was 50 and she was over 100. Yashoda was way over 100 years old. Krishna was about 55 or so when he went to Kurukshetra in the solar eclipse, not the battle, that's later. Kurukshetra battles after that solar eclipse. And she was crying so much she couldn't see anything, and she was so overwhelmed. Mother Yashoda, Mother Janani, Vrajeshri Yashoda, she completely forgot everything. She forgot Kurukshetra, she forgot. And then Devaki, Vasudeva actually stepped out. Devaki was there, and she's the mother of Krishna, and she was observing all this. And then she turned to Rohini and she said, she's completely a mother. This Sakhi, Yashoda, she's completely oblivious to us. She doesn't even see us. And Rohini says, and Rohini understanding the intensity of the situation, because Rohini is the mother of Balaram. And she lived in Braj and she knows the intensity of Yashoda's motherly love. So then she suggested, she took Devaki, she put her gentle Sucky hand, and she put on the forearm of Devaki and whispered in Devaki's ear, "Oh, Sucky, let's step out for a few minutes. Let's step." They all had tents. They all had tents, temporary housing tents set up at Kurukshetra. So let's step out for a few minutes and let Nanda and Yashoda be alone with their sons. That's amazing. And then the Vishnu's commentaries there in the 10th canto. So this is the intense, their love is, their relationship is based on their love. That's what makes Braj so special. The love, each representative of the Stai Rati in Braj is the supreme. The representative of Dasi Rati is greater than any other Dasi Rati Bhakta, like Hanuman and Ayodhya and Vaikuntha. But the But Raktak and Patrak and the house servants of Krishna and Nandagram are far superior to Hanuman in terms of rasa and intimacy with the Lord and feelings of love. This is all very, this is called rasa vichara. Krishna is one, but he has so many different aspects. His Saivites are one, they're his Shakti, but there's so many different aspects in hierarchy. So this is some discussion about the loyalty of the Manjaris. And our next topic is the loyalty of the Manjaris towards Radharani. They're Radha Sneha Adhika, they have extra affection, so much extra affection for Radharani that they never even think or dream about meeting intimately or enjoying with Krishna personally. Now we'll hear something about their unique position and the intimate sevas that the Manjaris are fortunate to render. This, because of these intimate sevas that they render for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, that's why they're very unique. And of course, their love, that sneha, that their degree or level of affection distinguishes them from all the other sakis. There's five categories of sakis, I mentioned. And two categories are samasneha, they have equal. The priya sakis and paramapriya sakis, they have samasneha adik, equal affection for Radha and Krishna. Then there's a category called sakis, like Dhanishta. And they have more affection for Krishna, Krishna Sneadik. And two of the five categories, which are the handmaidens or Manjaris, confidential maidservants, near assistants, confidential serving maids of Radharani, they're called Nityasakis and Pransakis, they're the Manjaris. They have Radha Sneadik, extra, more affection for Radharani than Krishna. And so, and then we just heard how great that affection is, that even when it's tested like this, they don't waver or hesitate in their dedication, loyalty to Radharani. This is the intimate sevas and unique position of the Manjaris of Radharani. And Madhurya Ras, which is called Ujwala Ras, the mellows of conjugal love, of the Braja Gopis. Only the gopis in Radharani's group relish the sweetness of the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. Obviously, the sakis and the vipaksha category, or the Radharani's group means her ashtasakis, and each ashtasaki has her eight sakis and eight manjaris, so it's Radharani's group, or her gun, is quite big. She has her ashtasakis, Alita Vishaka, etc. And each one of those Astasakis, like Alita, has her eight Sakis. And then Alita has her eight Manjaris, and each of her Sakis has Manjaris. So it's a very large group, and they're all Radha's party, Radha Paksha. They're in Radharani's party. So they, all of them, can appreciate all the Sakis and Manjaris. Only they can relish the sweetness of when Radha and Krishna are together. And the Sakis of Tatastha Sakis or Surit Sakis or the Vipaksha Sakis, other neutral category or friendly to both, or opposing or contrary Sakis like Chandravali, Padma, and Shaibya, they cannot appreciate the sweetness and beauty of the divine couple Radha and Krishna. Chandravali Sakis, they can appreciate the beauty and sweetness. Only they can appreciate the beauty and sweetness of Chandravali and Krishna. And the Surit and the Tatastha, they appreciate their own Yukteswari and Krishna. Now, this is very common sense. So yet among the Sakis, all the Sakis of Radharani's group, including the Manjaris, they can relish the sweetness of the divine couple. Yet among Radharani's sakis, only her Manjaris, the personal maidservants of Radhika, they can taste and experience the topmost wonderful sweetness of Radha Govinda Yugal. So all Radharani's sakis experience the wonderful sweetness of seeing Radha and Krishna together and bringing them together. But the Manjaris experience a more Adbhuta Madhura, Adbhuta Madhurya, a more amazing and wonderful sweetness, because they, the Manjaris, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Vilas, etc., Kasturi, they act like the other Sakis to bring Radha out on Abhisar, love journey to meet Krishna. They carry love letters back and forth. They act as messengers. They try to plead for Krishna or plead for Radha to give up her man. Many sevas they do, all of them. But then the Manjaris, because they come in the kunja and will hear, they experience even more wonderful sweetness because they're closest to the origin of unlimited sweetness, because they're right there and the intimacies of the kunjas, which we'll hear about. Acharyas say the Manjaris are the unblossomed flower buds on the desire creeper of love, Premalata. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, known as Radha. Radha Premalata, she's a creeper of devotion, and she has leaves and flowers, fruits, and they're all aspects of her love. And she experiences the full experience, the full joy of love in all those aspects. But the Manjaris are like a flower bud, and the Sakis are like flowers, open flowers, and she's the whole creeper. Amazing phenomenon of the Manjaris. This is an amazing feature, phenomenon, that's only with the Manjaris, that the ecstatic symptoms, whatever sattvic vikars or transformations of the body, crying, hair standing, and then the amazing features in love that Radharani experiences when she's with Krishna. Also, those ecstatic symptoms of Radharani's conjugal enjoyment appearing on Radharani's divine form simultaneously manifest and appear on the spiritual bodies, siddha sarups of her Sakhi Manjaris. Their unique position is that the Manjaris can witness the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the Brajani Kunjas. And in those forest bowers, the Manjaris can render so many special services, personal services. The Manjaris, their privileged service position, creates a wonderful taste and bliss and devotion. They can enter the kunja when Radha and Krishna are alone, without causing any discomfort or disturbance. As we've mentioned this point before, now I want to put it in a larger way. So here are some examples of the Manjaris' intimate services. An example. To refresh after Radha Madhav have been enjoying their Rati Vilas, their intimate affairs in the groves of Vrindavan, to refresh them and revive them and make them feel relaxed again and refreshed, the Manjaris quickly enter the Nikunj and they offer some beverages to drink, some fruit juices or other beverages. They offer them pan or betel nuts and spices. And then the handmaidens, Manjaris, they'll massage Radha and Krishna's fatigued bodies with an invigorating unguent mixed with camphor, sandalwood, musk, and saffron. The maid servants, they put beautiful fragrant garlands around Radha Govinda, and then they offer them wonderful thirst-quenching drinks, and they fan the divine couple with gentle cooling breezes from chamaras. So these are services that in other situations, offering tambul pan, offering some refreshing drinks, fanning with chamara, massaging the feet, these sevas in other places and other times are rendered by other sakis. When Radharani returns to Yavat or to Varsana after Aparan Leela between 3:36 in the afternoon and 6 p.m., and she's feeling intense viraha, viyog, separation from Krishna. So all the sakis are there, Lalita, Vishaka, Champak, Chitra. And they're lying her down and they're fanning her and they're offering her cooling beverages, camphor drinks, rasala. They're massaging her feet. So now, these same services are being rendered, but it's Kaladesha and Patra. At this time, in this place, in this circumstance, they can't cross the threshold of the forest bower, because their presence in the kunj would cause discomfort or embarrassment or shyness to Radharani, and she would feel some inhibition, and she would also withdraw the intensity of her love or conceal her emotions. It's called avahita bhav. Avahita. Avahita bhav means covering your bhav, covering, suppressing and covering your sentiments and emotions in particular situations in front of particular personalities. So when Radharani is alone in a kunj with Krishna, finally they get to meet together after so many obstacles and oppositions of superiors and inclement weather and raining and mud and thunder and tigers and so many things. Now they're finally alone together in the deepest, darkest night in the beautiful secret confines of a Nibritani kunj in the Braja forest of Braj. And now that free flow of emotions, that unrestricted flow of love between Radha and Krishna, they don't want to break in that. It's just flowing and moving so naturally and so beautifully, rising and crescending in different waves of joy and bliss of being together. And if all of a sudden Kutila walked in, how would it just be like an atom bomb? It would be like an end of the world. So that's an extreme example of upsetting the flow. Real example of breaking the flow of loving intimacies. But even the presence of in other words, she's a big, heavy superior. Opposition party. The Viroj party in Hindi. But even a Sakhi, an elderly Sakhi like Lalita Sakhi comes, or any other Sakhi who's a Yukteswari, if she were to enter that time, then Radharani, she's also Guru. Guru means superior, elder. Then Radharani would shrink, recoil and shrink back from her emotions and have to cover the depth of her intimacy. And then, because here when she's with Krishna, she's totally relaxed, she's undressed. And Krishna's undressed, and this is the most intimate of intimate confidential moments of the Lord and His divine consort in a transcendental realm of Brajadam. And the mandris are right there at their feet, massaging their feet, or just gently, quietly offering them tambal. Or maybe one mandri comes, Rupa mandri, Rati mandri, Tulsi mandri. She understands that Radharani wants to offer tambal to Krishna at this moment. So she has it right there. There's a whole table there, a seva table, with drinks and fans and sandalwood paste and kasturi musk and many unguents and ointments and drinks. And there's all seva paraphernalia there in the corner of the kunja. So she understands without any gestures or without any words, she can feel the movement of the pastime. Oh, Radharani wants to offer Shyam some tambal. Maybe his mouth is dry, his lips are parched. She's feeling that. So she's communicating that to my heart. The language of love communicated between hearts. The loving heart of Radharani to the loving receptacle of her manjaris. So then the manjari, Rupa manjari, Rati manjari, Tulsi manjari, prepares that tambal. Then she goes very quietly and secretly invisibly, without the slightest movement or breath to disturb the peace and happiness and joy of Radha and Krishna's intimate moments together, she goes to put in Radharani's hand. She slides it. Then Radharani just touches Rupa Mandri's finger. Just touches it. And that touch means, you do it. You put the tambal in Shyam's mouth. So now this is the moment of all moments, the service of all services, the zenith of ecstatic service for a mandri to directly serve Krishna or directly serve Radha. So now on Radha's indication, it's called Sakhi Agya. We have Guru Agya, the order of Guru. This is Sakhi Agya, the order of the Sakhi, Guru Sakhi, Radharani, Radha Agya. So now Rupa Mandri takes that tambal and very secretly drops it in Shyam's mouth, and he's feeling such ecstasy being so close with Radharani, he doesn't detect the slightest difference between a touch of Rupa Manjari and a touch of Radharani. Not the slightest. The fragrance of her fingers is the same as the fragrance of Radharani's fingers. The tenderness and delicateness of Radharani's fingers, Rupa Manjari's fingers, is the same as Radharani. That's why she's called Sri Rupa Manjari Ki Jai. Sri Rupa Goswami Pada Ki Jai. So this is the intimacy that seva is rendered by the Manjaris in principle and in practice, an example. So they also offer relaxing foot massages. When Radha Krishna, at sometimes Radha and Krishna will signal to the Manjaris that it's time to go. So then they do. The Manjaris are often in the kunja till the last second, or even sometimes Radha and Krishna don't even know they're there. They completely forget they're there. And the Brahm, it's called Prem Vibhram. It's also called Prem Vivart. Prem Vivart. In Prem Vivart, one becomes totally bewildered, can't really understand the reality of the situation. What he's seeing or not seeing, or who he is or who she is. Or this is Prem Vivart in a very simplistic way. So there are other times when Radha and Krishna completely forget that the Manjaris are there, and they're there the entire time. But other times when Radha and Krishna are more conscious, then they give some signal. Somehow or other, they communicate some signal that they want to be completely alone. So then the Manjaris, they understand that it's time to go. So then they do so, and then Radha Govinda take rest. After the Manjaris exit the love bower, from outside the kunja, then the Manjaris peek through the foliage. They kind of look, there's some, because it's all natural, it's not cement walls or brick walls or cow dung walls or whatever. It's just some four corners. There's trees, four kadamba trees, marking the four corners like we have pillars in a building, pillars or kumbha. Then between the four pillars, then there's some hedges and some flowering vines like mogra, juhi, maybe roses. So many. Then there's latas crawling around the trees like Madhavi Lata. This is Madhavi Lata, and the backside we have Malati. Madhavi and Malati and different latas are crawling up the kadamba trees and also intertwining with all these so-called walls between the kadamba trees. So there's always some space between the leaves. Like you can't see me so much. I mean, you can't see my eyes that much. I don't think so. Can you? But I can see you pretty well. So this is the experience of the Manjaris. And it's all, of course, Prem Drishti. So what you can see everything with the eyes of the heart. Because this is the land of realm. This is the realm of love and Prem. So when one has a heart that's fully opened in Prem or fully opened in love, and it's Prem Drishti, then you can see everything and understand everything in the precincts of one's loving heart. Premanjana, Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, Santak Sadeva Riyeshi Vilokayanti. Yam Sham Asundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tambaham Bhajami. So they go outside and they're watching. And from outside the kunj, the Manjaris are peeking through the foliage to watch Yugal Kishore close their eyes and drift off to rest on their flower bed. Now the Manjaris, what time is this? This is when their day ends, when their seva day ends, at about 2 o'clock, 2 a.m. in the morning. That's when the Manjaris, their seva ends for the evening. And then they have 1.5 hours to rest until 3:36 in the morning. But every moment is like 12 years or more, so they get a good rest. So they, then right there on the veranda, just like loyal servants, I've seen many times where the servant of a guru sometimes sleeps right on the doorstep of the guru's room. I've seen in India and some ashrams where the guru is resting and he keeps the door locked, but he has a bell in his room to ring a bell. And a servant, he just puts some chatai, a small mat or a gamsha if it's hot. He's just lying like a dog at the door of the master. Lying like a dog at the door of the master. The shishya, the sevite, the chela, the guru. Guru Das. He's lying there waiting, just waiting to hear the ding ding, ching ching ching. Then gets up. Yes, Gurudev? Jai Gurudev. How may I serve you? Then Guru opens the door, or he maybe has a key also, opens the door from outside. So the mandris, after the just outside the kunj, they just sleep on the veranda. They just go to sleep there. And sometimes they go, they have their own little kunja. There are different descriptions by our rasik jana, by our acharyas. But we can, I like to see myself sleeping on the veranda, because that's what I do here. I'm sleeping on the veranda of Radharani's kunja. Radharani and Giridhar are inside in the kunja. They have their little kunja there inside, and I'm the dog at the door. I sleep at the door in the night. So this is the idea that this is a kunja, and Radha and Krishna are here, and I'm a mandri here. So we try to emulate to some extent within the realm of permissibility and reason, emulate physically the environment and mood and scenery of the spiritual world as best we can, but more importantly, we live in that world in our meditation. That's the main thing. You can live in a 10 by 14 foot apartment with cement walls and brick walls and aluminum windows, and it can be your seva kunj, and your temple room just outside your bedroom or outside another room, your temple room, that's the kunj of Radha and Krishna. It's all consciousness. We call it, oh, what is that? That's my deity, that's the deity room. There's a little sign outside, the deity room. Please be quiet. The deity room. No, that's the kunja. They sleep in the kunja. You've heard of Nidibhan. Oh, what is that? Oh, that's Nidibhan. What's that? Oh, that's my seva kunj. That's where the mandris rest. That's the locker room. That's the resting quarters for the mandris. So we love Kusumanjali. This is pranam prayer. This is Mangalacharan. Mangalacharan, auspicious invocatory prayers before his Bhagavad Katha. Then Vilav Kusumanjali, Raghunath Das Goswami, describes very much the unique position of the mandris, because we're discussing about the unique position and the seva of the mandris. The intimate sevas. Special privileges that they have. So he says that when Radha and Krishna are alone in the kunj, only the mandris can enter and render seva as described above without causing any unhappiness or break in the flow of intimacy or diminishing in the exchange of love or any discomfort to Radharani or Krishna. What is the difference between the sakis and the mandris? Radharani and the other Yuteshris like Champak, Chitra, Sudevi, Rangadevi, Indaleka, Angavidya, Lalita Vishaka, they're filled with spontaneous and intense personal thirst to relish Shyam's sweet form with their eyes and his amazing, thrilling touch with their hands and with their bodies, and to relish the beautiful, sweet, deep sound of his voice. Krishna has a very deep voice, and very romantic and attractive. And they have intense thirst to relish the taste of Krishna's lips. So all their five senses of the sakis like Radharani and the Ashtasakis and all those Paramaprishta Priya sakis, they have intense desire to join their senses and bodies with Krishna. This is a symptom or characteristic, a lakshana of the sakis. They please Shyamasundara by offering their bodies in, it's called Nijanga Seva. Nija Anga. Anga means my limbs, my body. Nija means my own. Seva. Nijanga Seva. So this is the Sakis. So now what about the Mandris? What is their position? Well, the five senses of the Mandris, like we have our eyes, they want to relish form. We have our nose, we want to relish smell. We have our tongue, we want to relish taste. We have our hands, we want to relish touch. So these are the five. And ears, we want to relish sound vibration. So now that we heard about the Sakis, they want all the object for all their senses, they want it to be Krishna, and Krishna's body and form, combined with their Nijanga Seva. Now the Mandris, they have eyes and nose and ears and senses. What do they want to relish? What do they want to experience? So Raghunath Das Goswami is explaining. The Mandris, however, they're different. This is the difference between the Sakis and the Priya Sakis and Paramaprishta Sakis and Sakis and the Mandris, who are the Nitya or Pran Sakis. The Mandris are attracted to the joy, and they're attached to... They're not attached to Krishna's form and his body in the sense of doing Nijanga Seva. They're attached to the joy of experiencing the sweet attributes of seeing Radha and Krishna together. Radha Govinda Yuga Milan. When they're together, then the Sakis and Mandris the Mandris are very happy. The Sakis like Radharani, they want to be with Krishna and serve him intimately with their bodies. However, the Mandris, they want to see Radha with Krishna and serve them both together. So there's a slight difference. I mean, Radharani, she wants to be with Krishna and serve him intimately. And the Mandris, they want to see Radha with Krishna enjoying intimately. And serve them when they're both together. The object of the Sakhi's conjugal love, or Madhur Ras, is Krishna. And the object of the Mandri's conjugal love, or Madhur Rati, is Radha Govinda Yuga. Actually, we'll be discussing that tomorrow also. The Madhura Rati of the Mandri's. Madhura means conjugal love, man-woman love, intimate love. There's Madhura Rati. We say Madhurya Ras, or Vatsali Ras is called Rati. Rati means an intense attachment in the mood of a lover, lover-beloved. Or intense attachment in the mood of a mother and father, Vatsali Ras or Vatsali Rati. But it's really difficult to speak in such a situation, and it's very difficult to hear in such a situation. But it's all transcendental Shabda, Shabda Brahman. He's very loudly glorifying Radha and Krishna's Nam Rup Gun and Leela, and we're very softly glorifying Radha and Krishna's Nam Rup Gun and Leela. So somewhere there's a happy medium where they both meet. You know where the happy medium is? Your ears. Because it's coming from behind you super loud, Radha Krishna's Rup Gun Nam Leela, and it's coming from this opposite side, not very loud, certainly not that loud. And he's about, I don't know, 100, 200, 300. It's a straight line, actually. His speakers are exactly in line. He's in Madan Mohan Temple, which is Shamakund side. And we're in Shamakund. Our ashram is in Shamakund, like Raghunath. He's on that. We're just right behind Sanatan. Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kutira is there, and we're right behind. Jai. Jai. Shri Radhe. There you go. This is a special feature. It would be very difficult to find this type of ambience in Beijing, China, or in Paris, in some spiritual institution. This is, Braj is unique, and everyone can experience in their own way the uniqueness of Braj as we're describing the unique specialities of Mandri. So we're describing, we'll end on this note about the object of the Sakhi's love, conjugal love, or Madhura Ras, is Krishna. And the object of the Mandri's conjugal love is Radha Govinda Yugo. What is the perfection of for Radharani and the Sakhis? The perfection for Radharani and all of her Ashta Sakhis and her friendly girlfriends is to unite and combine all their senses with the senses of their beloved Krishna. Now, what is the perfection of the Mandris? So I'm showing you here the difference between the Sakhis and the Mandris. The Yuteshris and Nayakas, the group leaders and heroines, and the maidservants or handmaidens. What is the perfection for the Mandris? We heard the perfection of Radharani and the Sakhis. Now, as we heard about the perfection of the Sakhis' eyes and five senses, and Nijanga Seva, what is the perfection for the five senses of the Mandris? The perfection of Mandri's eyes is to see Radha and Krishna locked together in a tight, loving embrace. Whereas the perfection of the Sakhi's eyes is to see themselves, or to feel themselves locked together with Krishna in a tight, loving embrace. What is the perfection of the Mandri's ears? The perfection of their ears is to hear the Mandri's, their Khan city, Mandri's Khan city. The perfection of their ears is to hear the Surata Katamritam Suno, to hear the sweet murmurs and whispering of Radha and Krishna during their confidential love talks. What is the perfection of the Mandri's tongue? Jiva Siddhi. Is to taste the prasadi pan fresh from the sweet lips of Radha Govinda Yugo. So we talk about fresh fruits or fresh juice, freshly squeezed orange juice or apple juice. So their tongues, they want to taste that, the remnants, prasadi pan from the lips of Radha Govinda Yugo. What is the perfection of the nose of the Mandris? Mandri Nak Siddhi. They find perfection in smelling the pleasing fragrance arising from the union of Radha Madhav. Because Krishna's body has characteristic fragrances, which is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The different parts of Krishna's body have a different fragrance. His arms, his chest, his face, back. So Krishna's body, it smells like all these different fragrances are saurabh. It's kasturi and kapur, musk and camphor and chandan, sandalwood, and musk and aguru. So these four different fragrances. And then Radharani's body smells like kumkum and like blue lotus and also camphor and sandalwood. So the combination of these wonderful fragrances. Then the fragrance of love, as prema has a color, Madhurya Ras, Madanakya Mahabhav has a color, it's called Ujvala. Ujvala, it's this molten gold, this brilliant molten gold is the color of that ras. And the seven rasas have different colors, and that's described by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's smoky, there's green, the gona rasas and the primary rasas. So this Madanakya Mahabhav is actually the color, it has a color which is intense golden color. Radharani's Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. So there's characteristic color of Madhurya Ras, there's a characteristic fragrance also. So the Mandris find perfection of their smell and smelling the fragrance of Radharani's at the time of conjugal vilas. It's something only to be experienced on the level of Prakat Leela in a spiritual Siddha Sarup with spiritual senses. And the perfection of the Mandri's touch is to their sense of Mandri's touch is completely satisfied when they massage the lotus feet of the divine bodies of Radha and Krishna. They don't want to touch anything more than that. They're fully satisfied by that. So we'll continue tomorrow discussing more, a little bit more about this, and then the Madhura Rati of the Mandris. The glorious services of Srimati Radharani.